Well, please have your Bibles open at Acts chapter 18. Isn't it frustrating when you find yourself in that situation where you think you know, but then it turns out that you don't? Who's been in that situation? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Only 5 of you. Well, the rest of you are really clever, aren't you? It's a horrible, horrible place to be, isn't it? When you think you know, but it turns out that you don't. It may be that you've got some of the facts right, but you haven't got everything. It's a bit like trying to understand the offside rule in football or something like that. You've got some sort of idea, but you don't know the specifics. There's a few bits that you've got missing out. And it is a really embarrassing place to be, isn't it? When you think you know, but then you don't. How do you deal with being in that situation? Well, the way that you respond when you realize that you don't know everything says a lot about your character and the sort of person that you are. Are you someone who, when someone tries to put you right, says, "Oh, no, no, you're wrong. I am absolutely right." Or are you someone who goes, "That's great. Thanks for letting me know." Says a lot about the sort of person you are, how you respond to someone coming alongside you and not seeking to pull you down, but actually seeking to help you and to build you up. Well, in these verses in Acts chapter 18, we see a wonderful example of how a Christian should respond to correction. We see it here in the life of this chap called Apollos, who was an important evangelist at this point in church history. This is our first introduction to him, and he teaches us how Christians should love one another and how the wise person is a person who admits that they've always got something extra to learn, who admits that, yes, I may not have the complete picture today, but I want to learn, who knows that sometimes they don't know everything, and they've always got something else to learn. Well, Apollos, we don't know that much about him. He's mentioned here and there in the New Testament. We see he's mentioned quite a bit in the letter to the Corinthians. And it's clear that he became a major evangelist, a great worker for the Lord, who went out there strengthening and encouraging the churches. But here, at the very first introduction of him, we see that he's someone who thinks he knows, but he doesn't. Now, Apollos, he was clearly a very wise and clever man. In fact, the word in the Greek, Apollos, means a wise man. And he certainly seemed to live up to that name. He was a learned man. He knew the scriptures. And he was from Alexandria as well. Now, I know that people nowadays are not quite up on the significance of different cities in the ancient world. But Alexandria, it was a place in Egypt, and it was where a lot of clever people lived. It was a place that was filled with people who were learned, who were wise. And it was also a town which was about one-fifth Jewish. And as there were 600,000 people or so there, there's a lot of Jews living there. And they're all very clever people who studied the scriptures. There was a famous library there as well, which had 700,000 books in, which is more than even there is in my office, believe it or not. A lot of books, more than for each person of the people in the town. And in those days, the majority of people, they wouldn't have read at all. They wouldn't have seen books. They wouldn't have seen scrolls. They had this vast library there. And there were all these people who studied these things. Alexandria was a seat of learning and as a place with a strong Jewish population. Those people who know a little bit about what was going on back then, if you've heard of the Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and it was the Bible that a lot of the Jews were using at that time, that was translated by Jews, by 70 Jews, in Alexandria. It was a place of very clever men. And Apollos, growing up in that environment, he would have had from an early age good quality teaching. So he's someone who would have known, possibly most of, if not all of the Old Testament from memory. We struggle with single verses, don't we? But these guys, they love scripture so much that they memorized it. It's amazing what you can do when you're not distracted by TV and Facebook, isn't it? It really is. They had the time to really pour their lives into studying scripture. And that's what they did. He was someone who really understood the Old Testament, who knew it from the bottom of his heart. And not only was it just head knowledge, he understood its meaning. When so many Jews in those days, they were getting pulled one way or another and not understanding it, even if they knew it. He had was someone who had received instruction about what was going to happen. He had heard John the Baptist, or at least people who had heard John the Baptist, and he knew that Jesus of Nazareth was the long-expected Messiah. But that was all he seemed to know. He had got it part right. He knew some of it, but he didn't know all of it. He thought he knew, but then it turned out he didn't. He had responded to John the Baptist's call to repent and get ready for the arrival of the Messiah. He knew the Messiah was coming, but he hadn't heard the whole story. He was someone who was very excited about this. He was very zealous. In fact, he was so excited about this that he was going off traveling around the different synagogues, saying about John the Baptist, teaching about him, saying who Jesus was. He was the sort of man that you really wanted in your church, because he's filled with excitement. It's just bubbling over in him, and he's got to tell other people. He's filled with enthusiasm. He's the sort of preacher that we need in the churches today. We need people with enthusiasm for God's word and what God is doing, and a willingness to go out there and tell people the truth of God's word. Apollos was a man who was fired up and ready to go, and so ready to go, he'd already gone before he knew everything. He was an enthusiastic and persuasive preacher. But he didn't have the complete picture. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but he didn't know the end of the story. He didn't know about his death, about his resurrection, about the ascension, about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. He didn't know how Jesus died in our place so that we could be forgiven. Apollos, just like John the Baptist, was an Old Testament believer living at the very start of the New Testament era. This is an important crossover point when Acts of Apostles are written. A time when there's these Old Testament believers living alongside the New Testament believers, and the gospel message is going out there and reaching these people. There would have been many people like him. And next week we'll meet some more at the beginning of Acts chapter 19. Some more followers of John the Baptist. These were people who were true Jews, really following God Almighty. And they knew that the Lord was moving in a powerful way. They just didn't have all the pieces of the picture, of the puzzle, but they were ready and willing to respond. You've got to wonder if Apollos knew something was missing. You know how it is. You've got an idea that you think you know, but there's just a few strands that don't quite join up. I'm sure you've all been there. You think you know, but deep down inside, you know something's not right. I wonder if Apollos realized. I wonder if he knew. He knew that John the Baptist had identified Jesus as the Messiah. But that's all he knew. He knew there must have been more to the story. Some things that he didn't understand. Yet despite this, he is so excited that he goes out on the road to preach in different synagogues, in different places, and proclaim who Jesus is. And there's a lesson there for all of us, especially in the age that we live in today, because we live in an age when Christians often don't feel that they know enough to talk to other people. There's a whole network out there at the moment of different courses and training that you can do, correspondence courses, or you can go to different places. And it's wonderful that all these opportunities are available for people. And they are good for equipping you. But when people go out on these courses, there always seems to be a few people who say, I need just one more course before I go out and serve the Lord. And they do another course. And they go, oh, I just need one more course before I go out and do the Lord. And before you know it, they've spent their whole lives doing courses. And they've learnt an incredible amount of information. But they've never actually put it into practice. They've never done anything with it. And that's a real, real pity. Because the world out there knows absolutely nothing. And if you know something, you know more than the people out there. And the Lord wants us to go out there and share the something that we know with the people. I'm someone who has been on a course, and maybe I know something. And I did know that when I went off to do my course, I went in thinking I knew it all. And 3 years later, I came out thinking, oh, I don't know that much. It was one of those sorts of courses which really opened the mind and expanded horizons and things like that. Sometimes we can do lots of study and it ends up closing our minds and making us feel that we're not able to go out there. All of us who are born again Christians, we know the simple gospel message. And that's what people out there need to hear. They need to hear that God does exist, that he does care about how they behave, how he is going to hold them responsible, and we can be forgiven of all the things that were done wrong when we put our trust in Jesus and turn the direction of our lives around so that before where we were walking away from God, we're now going towards him. That's what the gospel message is. And it's the message that people need to know. And all of us here who have responded to that message, we can go out there and we can share it with people. We don't need to go on another course before we step out and do that. Going on another course may be helpful for us, but you do it alongside the ministry, the things that you are doing. So when you know something, take a deep breath and dive in. Apollos was a man who didn't have everything right, but he took what he knew and he dived in. He stepped out in faith and served the Lord anyway. And that is something that the Lord honors, because he looks at the heart. And in situations like that, when there's something important missing, the Lord will send someone along to put you right pretty quickly. And that seems to be what's happened in the life of Apollos. So he turns up there in Ephesus and he goes to the synagogue and he's there proclaiming about Jesus. And for Priscilla and Aquila, sitting somewhere maybe at the back, for them, they must have thought, yes, you preach it, brother. Absolutely wonderful. I was back in Africa there for a second. Preach it, brother. That's what they used to say from the back. They'd be there and they'd be absolutely enthusiastic. But then, like the moment when someone forgets the punchline of a joke, it all goes terribly wrong. The build-up, he just stops there. He thinks he knows, but he doesn't. That must have been so frustrating for them. You know, they'd arrived there with Paul. Paul had shared the whole gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ, and those Jews had been interested. And Paul had had to go down to Jerusalem, and God willing, he's going to return. And as we see in the next chapter, he does. And then the Lord sends someone else along who hasn't quite got it entirely right. How their hearts must have lifted up and then sunk within them. If that was you, what would you do? Would you stand up, march to the front, and add on to his message? Not the best thing to do, really, because that's undermining him and it would hurt him. Would you stand up and say, heresy, you've got it wrong? That's not really helpful, because the Jews, you're trying to win them to Christ. And having that sort of discussion and argument in public is only going to undermine and destroy the gospel message. Or do you take him home for dinner afterwards and have a quiet word with him? That's the one to do, that quiet word with him. And notice the importance of what's going on here. Because Apollos is missing something central, something important. He doesn't understand about the cross, about the death, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are central issues. In that wonderfully complicated world, which is theology, there are some truths which all Bible-believing Christians need to hold to. Then there's other things where we can have different viewpoints, because when we look at the scriptures, we see that we can see where people get those viewpoints from. I'm not talking about those secondary issues where genuine Bible-believing Christians differ. We're talking here about central truths. What's there in the middle? The things that are essential for someone's salvation. When those things aren't right, that's when we need to be having that quiet word with someone. I'm sorry, brother, sister. You think you know, but you don't. And you need to have God's word there in front of you and show them in God's word. And then you find out the sort of person that they are. How do they respond to that correction? How do they respond to this person, this brother, this sister, coming alongside and showing genuine love, correcting them there in private, trying to point them in the right direction? This morning we were talking about how Christians should be treating one another, and we saw that that love is central to everything we do. We should be modeling Jesus' love for one another so that we should be behaving like him, not undermining people in public, not attacking them, but gently correcting them and moving them up in their knowledge of salvation. That's what we are called to do. That's what Priscilla and Aquila do for Apollos. And what a wonderful model of a couple for us. Think of the way that they helped Paul when he was there in Corinth. They got alongside him and supported him and helped him through what appears to be a very difficult part of his ministry. And then look now how they get alongside Apollos, and they just put him right. And Apollos, he lives up to his name. He's a wise man. He listens to what they say. He examines the scriptures, and he goes away knowing the full gospel message. What great service Priscilla and Aquila did to the church. And in the pages of scripture, we see them mentioned, but they're never frontline people. They're never up there on the platform, as it were, you know, proclaiming the gospel. They're always there in the background, always supporting, always encouraging, always helping. We have to remember that in the church, the Lord gives us all different roles to do. And the people who are at the back supporting and encouraging and helping are just as important as the people in the front. I remember reading once about how in the army and how you have the frontline soldiers who are fighting, and behind every frontline soldier, there'd be another 7 soldiers providing logistical support. I don't know how true that is, but we know that the soldiers on the front line, they need feeding and clothing, they need their equipment, they need their ammunition. They need all sorts of things being brought to them. And there's a whole network for the people on the front. In the church, it's the same. While in one sense, yes, we are all on the front line, we've got things to do. There are some people with more prominent roles in the eyes of the world, and they need a support network behind them, looking after them, caring for them, encouraging them, and keeping them true to scripture as well. So if they do go slightly off point, pointing out to them from God's word where they need that little bit of help. Well, coming back to Apollos, he was built up. He was strengthened. And at the end of this passage, we see him being sent off to Achaia, which is basically it's back to Corinth. That's where he's going. He's going to Corinth and Athens and Sparta, down there at the bottom of Greece. And he's sent, this time, with letters of recommendation. He went into Ephesus under his own steam. He's gone into Ephesus. He's met the church there. And now they're able to recommend him to another church. For those of you who are from a brethren background, you know all about letters of recommendation and how you can only share the breaking of bread in a brethren assembly if you have a letter of recommendation from another brethren assembly. This is one of the places in scripture that practice comes from. Churches need to be in communication with each other, and they need those letters of recommendation so that they know that if someone is, you know, blessed and equipped by the Lord to do a job, it gives them the freedom to go somewhere else and continue their ministry rather than going in as a stranger and just having to prove their worth time and time again. And Apollos was a great blessing to the church. We know he was a blessing to the church in Corinth because he had a group of followers build up around him. But then so did Paul and Peter and Christ. Corinth had a lot of problems. But we know that Apollos was a blessing to that church. And he was able to strengthen those who in the grace of the Lord had responded to the gospel message. And this just reminds us once again that it's through the Lord's grace that people respond. We need to be praying for folk to respond to the gospel, asking the Lord that he will soften their hearts and move in them so that through his grace we can see people here in this corner of the world at this point in history responding to that gospel message and being saved. And then we need people like Apollos who know the scriptures, who are not only able to strengthen the believers, but then when people from outside of the church attack the church, they're able to deal with those charges that are being left at them, to debate with them, to prove that they're wrong, to strengthen the church and protect the church, but at the same time also to get the gospel message out there. Apollos was a man just like that. Someone who thought he knew, but didn't. But by the end of this passage, he knew that he knew. And for us as Christians today, we need to look at this and be encouraged. Think about the ways that we can support people who are in ministry here in the church, maybe in other places. How can we get alongside them and behind them, like Priscilla and Aquila did, to build them up, to encourage them? How can we be like Apollos and get ready and get out there, even though we haven't got all the pieces of the puzzle, but we can go out there and serve the Lord, not rely upon another training course before we do anything. And we need to be people who, like Apollos, are sensitive to the movement of the Spirit, who are willing to follow the Lord's guidance and trust that he will equip us with what we need as we step out in faith for him. Amen.